boundaries.
By the help of the Lord, we'd like to talk about that a little bit this evening. Appreciate everyone that's here. Most of all, we need the Lord to be with us tonight. I find this is one of the most, if not the most serious thing that the Lord has ever called me to do, was handle the eternal Word of God. The Word that I'm going to be judged by one of these days. So it causes me to do a little fear and trembling in my spirit. But I, by the help of the Lord, would like to be faithful. Ever since God created man, ever since humankind came into existence, God has set boundaries for man, hasn't he? Something that God knew of the material that he made us out of, this old flesh, he knew the flesh itself was weak, it was corrupt, and without his spirit within us, that we would not be able to handle living in the flesh. And he told them when he put them in the garden, Adam and Eve, he said they could eat of every tree in the garden, except that one there in the center of the garden that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's a boundary. You can eat of everything in this garden. You can just eat to your heart's delight, but that tree right there is forbidden. Leave it alone. You know, we've raised four children. We have nine grandchildren. And I still watch the little children. You put them in a room and watch them play, but if you tell them don't touch that vase or don't touch that lamp, guess what? They can't hardly keep themselves away from it. I was helping my son move out of his old couch out of his living room, and we moved in a new sectional. He's got a 1.5-year-old boy, and when he took moved a piece of furniture, why, there was a wall outlet exposed that he didn't know was there. And you know, we told him I don't know how many times to leave it alone, and that's the place that he wanted to go to all the time. He was trying to stick his finger in it. He wanted to stick other things in it. He had me very nervous until we got it covered up again with a piece of furniture. The one thing that God told man, you can do everything, you can have everything you want here. Leave that tree alone. You know, God has a purpose for everything that he does, everything that he tells us. His Word explains how He wants you and I to live a godly life. It isn't that He wants us to be miserable and unhappy. That's not God's purpose. But God wants us to be like Him. And He knows what it's going to take for us to be like Him. And in His wisdom and understanding, I'm glad that He does know that. I looked over some of the things of last year, the happenings of 2011, and I found some things that I thought was kind of interesting, things that kind of on the national scene, things that happened. There were several dictators, like Gaddafi, Mubarak, probably others that were taken out of their place and their regimes failed, they fell. There was a lot of wars last year, a lot of trouble and distress and unrest in this world. And there still is today, isn't there? I thought about there was a woman, I don't know if you heard about her, read about her, I certainly don't follow those things, but I did hear about a woman named Kim Kardashian. She got married to a basketball player, and the marriage lasted 72 days. That's kind of a farce in itself, isn't it? It was all a big show. It cost millions of dollars. In order for them to put on that wedding, they put on a real glamorous thing. But then I ran into some other interesting individuals last year. Arnold Schwarzenegger. You heard that name? The governor of California. Been married for a long time, and he was caught in infidelity. He had unnatural or wrong relations with his maid, and he was caught in shame. Then I thought about a fella that was in Congress. His name was Anthony Weiner. You heard about him? He got involved in doing things with a cell phone that he should not have been doing. And he had to resign in shame. I call it shame. I don't know what they call it. But he had to resign in shame. Had no control over his own spirit. You know, that's pretty much where we are today. We're living in a time where people don't have any restraints. But nevertheless, God has set boundaries for each and every one of us and how that He desires and wants you and I to live. There was another man. His name was Dominic Strauss Kahn. He was the head of the International Monetary Fund. Maybe you read about him. And how that he made inappropriate advances supposedly to a cleaning lady in a motel or a hotel where he was staying. And he lost his job and resigned in shame. There was another man that's very famous out up our way and a little east of me that was a college football coach for 43 years. Very successful. Joe Paterno. Head coach of Penn State University. Won a lot of games. Won some national championships. Quite a coach. After 43 years of coaching and all the good things that he did, he was found out to be covering for a sex abuser of boys on his campus. And they fired him within the next 2 or 3 days. In shame. After all those years, the man has since passed away, went out into eternity. There's a man named Bernie Fine. This is just a few things that happened last year. A man named Bernie Fine. He was the head basketball coach at the Syracuse University, and he was fired for inappropriate sexual conduct. You know, the Bible speaks to us about those kinds of sins and about those kinds of wrongs, but the appetite of men today seems like it is so aggressive and so far out from the influence of a just and a mighty God, there's just no restraint on what men will do today. No lengths to where they will go. They're overstepping their boundaries of where God has designed for them, for sure. We live in a country today that has overstepped the boundaries that God has laid down for how man was to live a moral life. And we look back at those things and sometimes we wonder why this and why that, but we really know. We really understand why we're going the direction we're going. A nation, what does the scripture say over there in Psalms? It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Folks, when we perceive to take it upon ourselves to follow our own path and do things our own day, our own way, we get away from the boundaries that God has laid down, how you and I are to live, we're going to do nothing but get worse and worse and worse in our moral existence. And I believe time is proving that. Some of you here might have heard the name of Amy Winehouse. I've never heard her sing a song, but she was a 27-year-old woman from England. She had tattoos all over her body, pretty much. She was in alcohol and she was in drugs. And she was an abuser of both of them. She had a very gory fashion and style and lifestyle that she lived. And she died when she was 27 years old. Such a waste of life. Such a waste of opportunity that God had given her. You know, there's a lot of people who maybe don't go to that length that she does, but they're wasting their lives. They're wasting the very precious life that God has given them. And it's really sad to look around and see people that... And I want to direct this tonight to us. You know, many of us and most of us here, we've known the church pretty much all of our lives. Been a part of it, been around it, has observed a lot of things. But as we observe the church today, and I want to make this very, very clear. The church of God is still beautiful. It is still holy, and it is still pure, and it is without spot and blameless. And it is still what God designed it to be, and it's still within the parameters or the boundaries that God instilled that the church to be. But you and I look out upon the visible body, and we're seeing some changes, aren't we? We're seeing some changes among the visible body of this church. If I can say it that way, I want you to understand what I mean here. It's not our church, it's God's church. But as we look out on the visible body and we see in different ones and the direction they seem to be going in their lives, it is very grievous to God, I know. Very grievous. And it's very grievous to us too. To think that people would even consider going other directions and still want to make a claim to be a part of the Church of God. I want to read a scripture that's found in Titus, the first chapter. Trust the Lord to bless His Word tonight. In the 15th verse of Titus, the first chapter, He said unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. To those of us that are walking and living a holy life to all that we know and understand, we enjoy and we appreciate and we love purity, don't we? We love the things that are pure. Think upon these things, the Apostle Paul said in one place. Things that are lovely, things that are pure. And those kind of things. We love the things that are pure. And that's really the only thing we embrace or want to embrace with our heart's desire is the pure things of life. And the only place that I can find pure things in this life is from God, isn't it? It's from His Spirit and His ministering to my soul, from His Spirit and His Word. I find the pure things from God. And unto the pure all things are pure, he said, but unto those that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. I have learned over the years, and many of you have too, that it does not take you and I very long. It doesn't take people very long, it seems like, to begin to take things for granted. When you come together in a marriage and husband and wife, if you're not careful, it won't take very long to take your companion for granted. And you just expect things out of them, and you're not even really as thankful about it as you ought to be. You just take it for granted. You know, and that is the motive or this, what I see behind what is happening today. Folks, we have heard the Word of God so many times. We've heard it preached so many times, so many different ways. Now, sometimes if we're not careful, we come to the point where we're just taking it for granted. Oh, I've heard that message before. I've heard one like it before. Or that's just Brother Larry talking or Brother so-and-so talking. And we just take it for granted. And folks, I want to tell you, the devil would love for us to take this for granted. He would love for us to take this for granted. But the Scripture says here that unto those that are defiled and unbelieving, there's nothing pure. But he said even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Now Paul tells us that we are to bring every thought under the obedience of Christ, doesn't he? Every thought, everything that processes through our mind, we must bring that under subjection unto the obedience of Christ. But folks, when we begin to get caught up with the influences of the things that are all around us, and it's people, our friends, those that we reach out to, those that we love dearly, folks, the devil doesn't care who he uses to trip us up. He'll use anyone that he can, any unsuspecting individual he can, to trip you and I up. And it'll pull at our heartstrings. Oh, but they're, you know, I've known them all my life, or that's my family and I love them. He will use them in order to get to you. If you're not careful, he'll do that. Their mind and their conscience is defiled. Now, how do we get there? I've heard it said, and I believe it so, that in order for me to go out and commit sin, I've got to tell my conscience something. I've got to somehow appease my conscience. We have a conscience. That little voice, that little voice with inside you telling you, no, you ought not to do those things, or it's all right to do them. You've got this thing of, you know in your heart the difference between right and wrong. We've heard this, we've heard the Word of God, we know the boundaries that God has set for us, and we know the difference between right and wrong. But whenever I begin to choose to go out and move off into another area or another place in my life that is moving away from the influence of God and His Spirit upon my life, I've got to tell my conscience something. The conscience defiled. The mind and the conscience defiled. You know, let me take you on another little trip down through memory lane. Some of us older ones anyway. Years and years ago, when I was a little boy, I used to see pictures in Life magazine. They don't even make it any, print it anymore. But there used to be pictures in Life magazine. It was just what they call a coffee table-like magazine that lay on your coffee table and just look at pictures. Pictures of things, of scenery and things like that. And back then, when I was a little boy, I saw pictures of people at the beach. And my, how modest they were. How completely covered that they were. Out there in that water, playing in that water, so completely covered out there. And I want you to look at it in your mind. It did not happen overnight. But where are we today? I don't even want to see a picture of a beach with people on it. A year and a half ago, and maybe I said this, told you this, but it'll be 2 years in August. Our daughter, that wife and I wanted us to go to Hawaii with them. And so my grandchildren wanted me to go in the water, in the ocean. And I said, I'll do that, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have my clothes on. We don't care, Grandpa. We just want you to go swimming with us. I tell you, it was one of the most interesting things. Here I was in my long sleeves and my long pants, and I'm out there, I'm swimming, we're throwing balls and things out there in the water, and I'm playing with three of my grandchildren. And there was a woman walking down the beach with a ring in her belly button, and hardly any clothes, and she looked at me like she had never seen such a thing before. Folks, that's the way it used to be. That's the way it used to be. I want us to understand something tonight. We have come to a point in 2012 where we have become so desensitized, we have become so immune to that this thing has been thrown in our face, And it's been changed so much, and there really isn't anything you and I can do about it except turn away from looking at it. And it's been thrown in our face, and it's accepted in society. But folks, the mind and the conscience has become so defiled, there's no shame anymore. They've overstepped the boundaries that God has set down for morality for mankind. They've overstepped it. I remember when I was a young boy that when, and I would hear my parents talk about someone that had, that was getting a divorce or had gotten a divorce. Folks, back then, in those days, that was taboo. You kept that quiet. You didn't, that was shameful to hear such a thing. You kept that quiet. You didn't go around broadcasting that. But is it like that today? Why, there's nothing to it. People get married with the idea, if it doesn't work out, I'll get a divorce and find someone else. Folks, the devil, there's no limit. There's no limit to where the flesh will go. Unless it's controlled by the Spirit of God. There's just no limit. I remember back when the men, and once again, a little boy, the men started using tobacco products. And they used to roll their own cigarettes and those kind of things. But it was taboo for women to smoke. You didn't see pictures of women. And then they had to put the billboards up there alongside the road. And they had a man there with a cigarette in his mouth. And his fingers up there holding it up there in his mouth. And a woman all the way over the other end of the picture. Nowhere near it, but she was in the picture now. And pretty soon, people got used to that, and they began to accept that. And pretty soon, they started putting up billboards, and people driving down the highway, and that woman was over there, and she had a lighter or a match in her hand, and she was lighting that cigarette for him. And we began to accept that. Now, the women do the same thing the men do. They do the same thing the men do. And we don't think nothing about it. Because it's commonplace. We see it all the time. Unto the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. You know, it's a serious thing to get a defiled mind and conscience. A conscience that's not sensitive to the Spirit of God. That's a serious, dangerous thing. I was over in Hawaii, and I was over in Honduras, and I may have told you this too. But you bear with me, because it fits here. I remember the first shower that I got up the next morning after I was there to take. And I went in that old bathroom. It didn't have any drywall on the walls. It only had one side of drywall, and that was enough to separate the rooms. Open, bare studs. And I got in the shower, and it was a fiberglass type shower, and it had one single handle faucet. I thought, hey, they really not as bad as I thought it was going to be over here. Single handle. I turned that on and turned it all the way around so it could get hot. But you know, it didn't take me long to find out why it was a single handle, because cold water is all you got. There wasn't no hot water. Oh, I got in there, and I tell you, it's tough getting out of bed in the morning and getting in cold water to take a shower. But you know, I learned that the longer I was in it, the more I got used to it, and I adapted to it, and it wasn't bad at all. Every morning it was the same routine. But the longer I was in it, the more I got used to it. Isn't that the way it is? We're in this world, and we're influenced by those things. Saints, let's be careful that we don't get used to it. We need to keep a righteous indignation against those things that are coming against the holy Word of God and the Spirit that God has given man, you and I. We need to have a condemnation upon our heart. Those things are wrong, and no matter how much And no matter how strong, and no matter how they desire, even if they would declare it, the government would declare it, folks, those things are wrong and they're abominations in God's eyes. And I don't want to accept it. I will never accept it. But I always want to recognize that those things are wrong. Somebody has stepped over the boundaries that God has set for them. We find ourselves in a very serious place when that happens. I'd like to look at another scripture. The Word of God says it so much better than I do. In Romans, the first chapter, read a little bit here. When the mind becomes impure with unholy images, and the ideas of the conscience become defiled with the guilt of sins that people have committed against God. Folks, there's no hope and no help for them unless they return and turn back to God. There's no help for them. Romans, the first chapter and the 17th verse, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now, we need to make note of that. God's wrath will be poured out upon these things. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has showed it unto them. You know, I think Paul might have been talking about the Jews when God had sent His Son, and Jesus had come and began to teach them and instruct them, and they began to understand. Some of them began to understand and began to accept Him and receive Him. But eventually they took Him and they put Him on a cross, didn't they? And they told the governor, they said, crucify Him, crucify Him. Wanted Him crucified. But He said, that which is known of God, it was manifested, it says, in them, but to them, God manifested Himself to this world through His Son. God gave His Son that you and I could be saved and live a holy life. But He said, God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that's us, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, the things that I have mentioned thus far just touch the tip of the iceberg. But the things that I've mentioned thus far, when the judgment day comes, will they have an excuse? Paul said the grace of God that brought salvation has appeared to all men. I believe God deals with everyone. I believe He convicts everyone of their need of a Savior at least once. I don't know that He's required to do it twice, but He does at least once. But the grace of God that brought salvation has appeared to every one of us. And He said, so that we are now without excuse. The Scripture says too that it's not His will that any should perish, did it? But that all men should come to repentance. So we know that God is, the merciful God, is not going to cut anyone off without giving opportunity. But folks, you and I, as I started this little meeting out Wednesday night, are living in a very critical time. We're living in a very serious time where the enemy is taking advantage of people. He's taking advantage of the flesh. There's no restraint upon people's mind and the flesh and desires today. And they're going out. They have no control over their spirit. And they're going out and doing whatever feels good and whatever feels right, not giving any thought or consideration to the needs of their eternal soul. And that is so sad. Lord, help us tonight to turn our thoughts and our minds to the needs of our eternal soul. Because eternity is where we are going. He said, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The mind and the conscience defiled. Lord, help us tonight. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. I want to read another one that I feel goes right along with this. Ephesians 4:17 says, This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. You know, in many of my prayers in my secret closet, I'm asking the Lord to open people's blinded eyes. People need to get their eyes open. I would love for the Lord to show people eternity. I'd love for people to get a vision of what hell is really like. What it's really going to mean, to go to that awful place and be there forever and ever. I know in our little finite minds we can't comprehend what forever and ever means. But folks, once I'm there, it's fixed, and there'll be no coming back, no opportunity to hear the Word of God, no opportunity for God to deal with my soul, and it tells me that hell is a place where there's no presence of God. And folks, to me, that's the worst thing of all. No presence of God. I would that people could get a vision of those things. The blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. You know, people of past feeling today, it seems to me that it's getting more difficult for people to respond in their hearts to God's dealings with their souls. It seems it's getting more difficult. I know we live in a busy world. I tell that to my people up there all the time. I know it's a busy world. I know we've got a lot to deal with. I know that that some of them are raising children and some of them are working on jobs. I know that. Been there, done that. And it's a busy world. But folks, we cannot afford to neglect our souls. The things that I've described, I hope give you a little mental picture of how the devil is influencing the world around us, and it will drag you and I right into it if we're not careful. If we don't stay within the boundaries that God has set down for His people, it will drag us right into it. The devil came along and he coerced Eve. He lied to her, got her to partake of that forbidden tree, and he'll do the same thing to you and I. And it's not like, well, you know, I get myself in trouble. I didn't mean to. You ever heard? I didn't mean for that to happen. I didn't mean for that to go that far. I didn't mean for that to be that way. We don't really mean it, and I believe they're serious when they say that. But folks, there's an enemy out there that's pulling us in those directions, whether we mean to or not. And it's important that we stay within the boundaries. Now, I want to read a scripture here that brings a great fear upon my soul tonight. In 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. I guess I want to start about the 7th verse. He said, "The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness." This seems like it just lays on my heart so much. with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Sin deceives, doesn't it? That's where the world is today, in deception. Souls are deceived, believing lies, believing things that are not true. And he said here, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Every art of cunning that the devil can invent, and every unrighteousness that he can bring into this world, is to suggest to you and I the order or the desire to delude and to deceive men and women. It tells us in Revelation the devil has been turned loose to go to the four corners. And he set out for one thing, and that is to deceive the nations. And he said here again, let me read it. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Folks, sin, and you've heard it said I don't know how many times, it'll take you farther than you intended to go. It'll cause you to do things you didn't intend to do. Getting a little careless, getting out from the umbrella of the Spirit of God, folks, we can't afford it today. We're living in a critical, desperate time. Because they receive not a love of the truth, that they might be saved. Oh, folks, maybe you've heard it too much. Maybe you don't want to keep hearing it again. But I pray that we will always have a love for the truth. Maybe I don't really feel like that I've got the grace to live that way. Oh, I've had brothers, my brothers or sisters say, you know, I know that that's how you folks live, and maybe that's what the Bible says, but I can't live that way. Maybe you can't live that way, but folks, don't ever lose a love for the truth. Because there's a curse that goes with that. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Lord, help us. You know, people are out there in the world believing a lie tonight. They're living a lie. Their life is a lie. I've had too many people. I've got a sister that will soon be 82 years old, bless her heart. And she's letting me know. She said, I want you to preach my funeral, and I tell you, I'm ready and I'm all right. And she's been a good old Baptist for years and years and years. And she's ready to go. And it just, I lay there at night in bed sometimes, and I think about my loved ones and other souls that are going to be lost. And I can only take it when I think about the hell that they're going to. She was raised in the same home by the same parents, taught the same truth, and would not accept it, did not receive a love for the truth, and she's believing a lie today. I tell you, folks, it weighs heavy on them all in my heart. It weighs on your heart, too, when you know of your loved ones that will not accept the truth. God, when God sends strong delusion, you're deluded. When God sends it, you're deceived. You know, when God sends it, there really isn't anything you can do about it. There really isn't anything you can do about it. Except beg God for mercy. Except beg God for mercy, folks. It said God will send them strong delusion that they should be a lie, believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I want to tell you tonight, young people especially, all of us. I know there's a world of fun out there. I know there is. I was out there for 28 years. There's a world of fun out there. But that fun's going to end. That fun's going to end. I preached a 19-year-old boy's funeral. It didn't last. The fun didn't last as long as he thought it would. Went out in a fiery crash in a closed casket funeral. Didn't last as long as he thought it would. I know the world is full of a lot of fun. But folks, it's an unrighteous world out there. And it will defile your conscience, it'll defile your mind, and bring you to the point where you begin to say to yourself, well, I don't think that's so bad. I have people tell me that. Going out doing some of these things, well, I don't think that's so bad. Children saying to me, Dad, I don't think that's so bad. I don't think that's wrong. It isn't really what we think, is it? God set the boundaries and told us to live a holy life. Told us to live and be like Him. Remember, when God made men, He made us in His image. He made us like Him. Not that we look like Him physically, but we are to be like Him in our spirits and in our lives, the way that we live. That was His intention for every one of us. And that's why Christ came back to the world and died and gave His life. That we could be like Christ. That we could be like God again. God is good. God is good. And He's been so faithful. Who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, He went on to say over there in Titus, the next verse, He went on to say, in their works, they deny Him. People are denying Him by the life they live today. People are denying Him by taking their own way, doing it their own way, doing their thing, and living the way that they want to live. And it seems like the more that they desire to do it, God is allowing them to go that direction, and He is. It seems like conviction is being lifted. Doesn't it? It seems to me like conviction is being lifted. Conscience is defiled. And it seems like God cannot convict souls of their need. When an individual believes what they're doing is right, it's hard to convince them otherwise. Even God will not come along and convict you otherwise if you don't humble your heart toward the Lord. There's a verse of Scripture in Proverbs 29 that says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." There's another Scripture found in 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter, talking about a wicked, evil king and how he led the children of Israel astray. And it says that God sent messengers and they stoned them. He sent more messengers and they killed them. And He sent more messengers and they destroyed them. And it says in that 36th chapter of 2 Chronicles, it came to the place till there was no remedy. And He said here in this verse, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I know one thing. We have opportunity now, don't we, to do business with God. But when we get to that place, there's no more remedy. There's no more opportunity. But the second verse of that same chapter says this: when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Now you look at our country today. Young people, I've been talking to some older folks on this trip that since I left home, and they said they've seen so many changes over the years of their life. Young people, in the last 20 years in your life, this world has changed tremendously. It has changed tremendously. We are accepting things today that would have never been accepted when I was a boy. Would have never been accepted. It is amazing how things have changed today. And we do not have, God rest their souls up there in Washington, we do not have righteous men leading this country. And this country is going to suffer for that. This country is going to pay a price for that. I'm not saying anything profound there. We all know that. We all know that we are going to suffer as a nation and as a people because unrighteous men and women up there in Congress and the leadership of this country is taking this country in a direction that's going farther and farther away from God, away from the boundaries that He laid down and that was laid down. That God help guide this country by the men that founded it. We don't mock the Word of God. Because what God says, folks, when it talks about His wrath, and when it says that when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn, folks, you can count it to be so. You can count it to be so. He says, I am God and I cannot lie, and I know God is not lying to us. I know He's not going to lie to us. But you can count it to be so. And we're living in a sad time. It's really sad to see people going on and enjoying and living life, and they're telling their conscience something. Telling themselves something. Oh, it's all right. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with that. Whenever it's not well founded in the boundaries of God's holy word. I want to look at another scripture. Probably be my last one. The 19th chapter of Luke. Forty-first verse. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. Now we know over there in 23rd chapter of Matthew, it's Jesus went out and said he looked over Jerusalem, and he wept over it. Luke says that he doesn't say everything that Matthew said there, but this is the scene. And he said, how often I would have gathered you together, but you would not. One thing about God, He doesn't make us do anything. If you want this salvation, if you want to walk and live a holy life before God, you will have to want to do it. You will have to humble yourself, and you will have to take it. Because He will not force this on any one of us. How often I would have gathered you together, but ye would not. He said, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing. But you wouldn't listen. They didn't listen. People aren't listening today. You know how frustrating that is when you're trying to help a soul and guide a soul to keep them out of the devil's hell, and they won't listen? Jesus, it broke his heart, and he was crying and weeping over a people that he came to. The scripture said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And he was weeping over those poor people. And here they are, running around, doing their thing, living life, clueless. Absolutely clueless of what was about to happen to Jerusalem. Clueless. But God knew. Jesus knew what was about to happen 70 years later. He said, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Those of us here tonight, folks, if we aren't living where God is requiring us to, where we know that God is requiring us to live, we are without excuse. We're without excuse. But he said here, if you'd have known, it seems like we've come to the place now. Here we are in 2012. We've come to the place where people just don't seem to know. They don't realize the seriousness, the gravity of eternity. If you would have known, in this thy day, this is our day, this is our night, this is our little meeting, that God is giving you and I an opportunity to change course, to change direction if we're going the wrong way in life. But he said, the things which belong unto thy peace, but they're hid. I wonder tonight how many things are hid from people's eyes. Their mind and the conscience have become so defiled that it's just been hid from them. God has sent the delusion in their life. They're going out there believing a lie. You know, I read the scripture the other night where it said the hail would sweep away the refuge of lies. Folks, it's only the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, Jesus went on and said, for the day shall come upon thee, he prophesied, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. I'm pleading tonight. If there's any here tonight that knows that God's dealing with and you know that you need help, it doesn't matter who you are or how long you've made a profession. If it's not working, you need some help. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. This is our visitation, folks. Jesus was crying for Jerusalem because 70 years later, one of the most awful things happened, according to Josephus, that had never happened before or since upon this earth. When Titus set his siege around that city, there was war going on inside that city. They were destroying their own buildings. They were killing their own people. They had a granary in there. They had enough grain in there to last them for food for a long, long time. And they burn it up. While Titus was setting up his army around that city. That's what Jesus was talking about. He knew what was going to come. If you would have only known when I was pleading with you and teaching you and trying to tell you and warn you. He said, be therefore ready for such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And he was crying over Jerusalem. And they'd burn up the food and they were killing and destroying one another. And it came to the place while Titus was still arraying around the city that they famine set in. They ran out of food. They didn't have nothing to eat. Said people were dropping in the streets. And they would take them and throw them over the walls to get the stink out of the city. Said some of them were carrying boxes, and whenever they realized that they were about to expire, they just laid down in the boxes and died. People were killing one another and breaking into houses trying to find food. Mothers killing their babies and eating them. Yes. Lord, have mercy on us. The wrath of God is revealed upon unrighteousness, folks. God hates sin. He turned His face away from His Son, bearing the sins of mankind. And Jesus was pleading for them, if you would have only knew the time of your visitation. But you would not. You would not. You sat there in your own stubborn will. You let your will get in the way of your heart. You stood your ground. I've seen it so many times in the past years. People, once the service is over and the altar call is over, it seems like they take such a big sigh of relief. Well, I made it to another one. Folks, eternity is more serious than that. Much more serious than that. And we're all facing it. It's ahead of every one of us. He said, if you'd only knew. But it's been hid from the eyes. And I'm beginning to wonder, folks, how much of this is being hid from people's eyes today. I've become accustomed to it. I've heard it so much it doesn't affect me anymore. I'm satisfied with the life that I'm living and the direction I'm going. I want to tell you, if we're outside of the boundaries of God, and of His written Word, I'll tell you where it's going to take you. Sin's going to deceive you and it's going to take you to the devil's hell. That's plain, I know. That's strong, I know, but it's the truth. It's the truth. If we don't get ourselves right before God, those little areas, you know what? I'm seeing something today. I was thinking about that over in the trailer. It's breaking my heart. But it seems like I'm seeing some of the older folks that have been in this way for a long time before they come down to die. They become confused and deluded in their thinking, and they start questioning the truth, and they die with a cloud up over their lives. Lord, have mercy on us. You think the devil is not mean? He's mean. You think that he's not pulled out all of his stops to try to destroy a soul? He has. He has. I feel it. I see it. I know how hard he works on me. So I know how hard he's working on you too. Folks, we've got to bear down and hold on to this thing. You older saints, let's hang in there. Let's hold on to this thing. It'll get us there. This is right. The way we're living, this is right, folks. It'll be safety for your crossing when that time comes. It'll be there. I saw it right in my sister's face. Heard it right out of her mouth just 3 weeks ago. It'll be there for us. You hold on. Don't you begin questioning this truth. You hold on to the conviction that God has put on your heart. And don't ever turn away from it. Amen. Stay in the boundaries of God's holy word, folks. And it'll be there for you. It'll sustain you when you make your crossing. You'll have peace in your soul. You'll have rest in your bosom. You'll have an assurance in your heart, folks, to know that you're ready to go. Out there in eternity, the unknown. Never been there before. Don't know what it's really going to be like, but we're all going there. Folks, I saw it just recently. And I tell you, it has inspired my soul to know I'm going to hang on to this. This is the way I want to die. This is the way I want to do it. Because I saw the peace. I saw the joy. I saw the resignation into God's hands. That's what I want. That's what I want for me. I want to keep the love of God in my heart. The desire burning in my soul. If we don't have a desire burning tonight, something's wrong. We need to have a burning desire in our souls that we are going to make it by the grace of God. Lord, help us tonight. I pray that if there's anyone here that needs any help at all, that you'll do business with God. Because your soul is at stake and eternity is drawing near.